Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. As we discuss the back-to-back NFC East champions and look forward here, we got a lot to come on the show. We will unpack the Jake Elliott situation, what the Eagles should do in Buffalo coming up on Sunday where they play the Bills in a big one, all the seeding stuff. We'll go around the NFL as well and react with you to the win, what it means, back-to-back NFC East titles. Joining us now to talk about the game, he was on the call. You heard him in the montage just a few minutes ago. Now we get to talk to the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Merrill, good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning. It's sunny, it's nippy, and the Eagles are in the playoffs.
They are. And Merrill, let's talk about the accomplishment. You know, you were on the call back in 2004 when it became a yearly thing. The Eagles would win the division back-to-back years, and then no one did it in this division for 21 seasons until now. What was it like to call it, and what's this accomplishment mean in your eyes to win this division in back-to-back years?
Well, that means a lot, the fact that in five seasons, Nick Sirianni has been to the playoffs every single year and has been to the Super Bowl twice and won one of them. I think that means an awful lot.
Merrill, I agree. And the other thing that stood out to me this morning and just watching football yesterday, Merrill, right now, and it could change the next couple weeks, but right now, the Eagles are the only team that won a division last year that is in first place right now. And we could have seven new division winners and then the Eagles again repeating. It's pretty remarkable. The league changes a lot. It changes quickly, and yet the Eagles are back.
Well, you know, they're not just back. They ran away with the division. Mm-hmm. About a month ago, everybody was saying, well, you know what? The Cowboys are sneaking up. They're good right now. They're getting better every week. They're just a game and a half back, and boom, then they went down the chute, and then the Eagles got hot again.
They did, and this is a typical thing in December, and the Eagles are now in the postseason, and we'll see where they're seen. Let's talk about the game itself, Merrill. It was a frustrating first half because it just felt like they left so many opportunities on the board with missed kicks, with the fumble early. But then once that second half arrived, they just took over. I mean, the Jalen Hurts touchdown to Goddard was, I thought, one of his best plays of the year, and then the defense was just suffocating.
Well, I thought Jalen played well throughout the entire game. I mean, he had a quarterback rating of 111. He had 74% completion rate. He threw for two touchdowns, including the great one that you talked about to Goddard. And also, he rushed for 40 yards. He just played great football, and a lot of good things took place. The defense was tremendous. I mean, if you look at it truthfully, they gave up 10 points. The last points came against all backups, and really didn't make much of a difference. But the Eagles won conclusively, and that's what's important. The week before, we talked about how bad the Raiders were, and they were bad, but the Eagles dominated them and beat them 31-0, and actually, the Raiders gave Houston and their great defense a game yesterday.
They did. Very close game down in Houston. Merrill, when you look at the game on Saturday, and then the whole season in entirety, what's your thought on the development here of Jordan Davis and the way he's played? Because when the season, last offseason, Merrill, into the beginning of the season, I was a little bit skeptical of the idea that they picked up his fifth-year option. He had not had a great start to his Eagles career, and I was like, I kind of wanted to make him earn it. And then we had a chance to sit down with him at training camp, and I could see that he was changed, not just physically, but he just seemed more mature to me. And I was like, all right, maybe the Eagles were right on this. And then watching him this season, I think he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl, Merrill. I think he's been outstanding and has looked like a first-round pick this season.
Well, absolutely. I agree completely, Joe. He does deserve to go to the Pro Bowl. I can't imagine that he won't go to the Pro Bowl. He has just been a tremendous football player, and the Eagles needed him to move up Of course, you don't know it at the time, but as it turned out with Jalen Carter going down, he has really, really picked his game up, and he's been a dominant force each week.
He has. Merrill Reese with us here, the voice of the Eagles, as we react to the win over the Commanders, back-to-back NFC's titles. Merrill, what was your thought late in the game, about 4.5 minutes to go, when the Eagles decided to go for 2 points to push their lead to 18? I did not take it as they're running up the score. That just didn't cross my mind. But obviously Dan Quinn and the Commanders took exception to it. What were you thinking in the moment, and how did you? What was your reaction to their reaction?
Well, if you're playing and you're playing at the rate that the Commanders are playing and you're down to your third quarterback, anything's going to make you irritable. You're going to be angry about everything. But the fact of the matter is, that's not running up the score by scoring an extra point. They had already stopped passing. They had taken the first unit people out of the game on defense anyhow. And the fact, I thought, I wasn't doing the math in my mind, but if he had done that just because they hadn't run a two-point conversion in a while and that's something they wanted to work on, that would have been okay with me. But that was not running up the score. They're just being cranky.
Merrill, I think you're right. Your thought on this game moving forward, let's look ahead a little bit to Sunday. Eagles in Buffalo against the Bills. It's not a matchup we see very often. We saw it a couple years ago here. It was a shootout where the Eagles won the game in overtime. Your first thought on this game, Eagles and Bills, with the Eagles still having a chance to move up in the seeding with the next 2 weeks here coming up.
Well, my first thought is what I'm going to be wearing. What if I can use those quilted khakis and the heaviest jacket I can find and a nice big woolen cap, because it's not going to be pleasant there. But honestly, I'll be honest with you. To me, the difference between the third seed and the second seed is huge. It is really, really worth playing for if that second seed is on the line. And you look at last year, they were the second seed. And they benefited because Washington upset Detroit, who was the first seed, and they had the 3 home games, which took them to the Super Bowl. I think the prospects of having all home games is absolutely worth playing for, and I think they have to play the starters within reason. I mean, if they have a starter who's coming back from injury, don't do it. But if you play the healthy starters this week and go at it and try to beat Buffalo, and I'll tell you something, I watched Buffalo yesterday, and yes, they have some great players and their offense can do great things, but they are not that good a defensive team.
I agree. They're not, and their run defense has been poor really the whole season, so it could be another good day for Saquon Barkley. Merrill, have a great week. Enjoy the rest
of it. Merry Christmas, Merrill.
Yes, so happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Merrill, and we'll talk to you on Sunday as we get ready for a big one up in Buffalo.
Thank you, Joe, and you guys have a Merry Christmas, and Q, have a great day.
You as well.
There he goes, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Yes, Eagles Buffalo coming up on Sunday as Eagles will make a decision on how they're going to play this. Just in terms of the schedule, that game is at 4:25 Sunday. The Bears play at 8 o'clock Sunday, so they're not going to have any intel on what the Bears do before they play their next game. Hugh, my first thought, and we'll get to it, they're going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, you got to play.
Yeah, they're going
to
play.
You got to play because you got a sliver of a chance to, what is it, the second seed?
Well, depending on tonight, they still have a minute sliver at the one.
Yeah.
But really, the
go
two.
Go for it. You got to go for it.
Well, we'll see how they play. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to react to. Black Gritty joins us on WIP. Good morning, Black Gritty.
Hugh, what it do, Joey Bear? See, that's why Merle is the voice of the Eagles. He took one of my points right out of my mouth. The Texans got the best defense. Nobody wants to see the Texans in the playoffs. And then just the Raiders went up in there, 21. They only scored 23 on us. So I've got my defense looking real tight right now. I got looking real good. Brandon Graham with them 2 old man sacks. And Hugh, don't let them mess with you on your sacks, brother. You still want to be an all-time Eagle sack. You know, if you ever get dropped out at 100.
I ain't worried about that. Hey, Black Gritty, time is not on my side with this, man. But I'm on the list. I mean, I was on the list.
Yeah. I don't know how long you've been working on that comeback, but I did mine in 10 years. It was a cold bar, brother. It was a cold bar. But one of the things I love the most about the game was stuff that I saw after. I saw my quarterback being a leader. I saw him over there galvanizing the line after a penalty, trying to get them together. Saquon walked over, started barking something, and my QB was like, yeah, yeah, and then walked him off, went right back to them. Steen trying to kung fu fight everybody. Jalen went over there, had to corral him again. Like, and then he's over there with BG doing the dance on the sideline, like, I know a lot of stuff's been speculated outside from reporters and receivers and all these people about my quarterback not being a leader. When they look like he's leading, and it looks like they're galvanizing together at the right time. They're gelling. They're becoming a team. Saquon's breaking tackles. I mean, Tank Bigsby out here, Bigsby. I'm just saying, can I get a little two-headed monster? Can I wear a team down in the postseason? Because it looks real good right now. And Lane Johnson's coming back, and Carter's coming back, and it just feels good. And I know the Commandos ain't talking crazy. They all here work. We got an Elliott problem, guys. Now, you all saw what you said out here. I'm not trying to. I'm anti-benching people because we ain't even got another kicker out here. But boy, he better get in the lab because the only thing I can say is when you miss like that, at least you keep missing to the same side. You ain't lost at all. You know what I mean? You ain't missing left, right, short. Whatever it is, make that adjustment, bro, because we need you come the postseason because you know it's us in the cloud of dust to get these Georgia W's. But right now, it's go birds. We going back to back. Merry Christmas, y'all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Black Gritty. We appreciate you. Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
The Jake Elliott thing's a concern. I mean, there's not.
I mean, what are you going to do about it, though? I mean, you know, because the first thought was this morning. I'm thinking that I saw some people actually talking about cutting him.
So, I mean, you can't cut
it's
him.
A stream.
But, I mean, we
who
see.
Who you bringing in?
Well, I don't know.
Young Wei Koo?
You see this all the time in the NFL when a kicker's struggling.
Young Wei Koo, you bringing
there's two, Koo in? There's though? Two elements. You could get rid of the guy. I don't want to get rid of Jake Elliott. You can't. But you know what they do. They bring. They
Young Wei Koo.
They roll three other kickers in here to try out. And they show him
young
that little
stop,
bit.
Stop.
Whoever.
Young Wei Koo one more time.
Who's out there, Kyle? In my hostile, vicious voice. Who's out there, Kyle?
I don't. Nobody.
Young Wei Koo.
Nobody. Well,
that's not true. There's always kickers available.
Okay, Young Wei Koo. He's the top. If you look at the list of available kickers,
yeah.
He's the number one.
Matt Prater's available. He's been kicking forever.
That's why you just ride it out.
Your boy.
No.
Well, we. You coward. He already knew where I was going.
Nope.
Now, this is the issue. It might be a little backlash.
So Matt Prater, Matt Prater's not available. I lied about that. I'm trying to look up the list
Wei
of kickers.
Koo. Young
I
Wei
don't
Koo.
Want
no.
Young Wei Koo.
No, Joe, don't do that. Who's at the top of the list?
I'm trying to find the list.
Young Wei Koo. Young Wei Koo.
But hold on. You guys act like if everyone thought the way you guys do, no
do
kicker
mean?
Would ever be replaced.
No, but not right now. It's too late. It's
no,
too
no.
Late.
But this happens all the
you know
time. Every season, every season there's a team that has a kicker issue, and they bring new kickers in to work out. Am I wrong?
But how often this late in the season?
That's
like,
what I'm
when
saying.
The
we late in the
matter the most.
I understand. So what? So we're just going to shrug our shoulders and hope
Young
he makes
Wei
the
Koo.
Kicks?
Young Wei
yeah.
Koo.
Okay.
Bring in Young Wei Koo.
Hugh, for you, I hope they do, okay? Because you've said it 10 times.
Why are you so weird? He's the top kicker that's
then
out there
bring him in,
right
man.
Now.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. We're stuck.
He was like the kid that won't take no for an answer right now.
Like,
it's Young Wei Koo or nothing.
No.
We know.
Then bring him in, man. I don't know what to tell you.
We know. We heard you.
Here's why it's a concern.
I hate you.
Here's why it's a concern. Every playoff game is going to be close, right? With the way our team is this year. I don't think we're going to have multiple playoff games like last year where they just blow the doors off a team. These are probably going to be super close games. And Jake Elliott has earned an enormous amount of trust in the postseason. He has, if you look at the list of most postseason kicks ever, he's near the top. Like, you know, it's like Vinatieri, and you go down that list. It's not very far until you get to Jake Elliott. He's had an enormous amount of postseason success, but he's not played well. I mean, he's just not. We'll get more into it and what he had to say after the game, but he has not played well. Let's go back to David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Joe Gillo, Hugh Douglas, how you doing today?
Hey, Dave, what's up,
man?
It was a good win. Let me start with positives because, you know, I don't like being a little negative Nelly. So it's good that they repeated. I'm happy about that. But what was going on in that first half? What was wrong with that team where they couldn't do anything right the first half? You got any insight on that?
You're talking about the first half of the season?
No, the first half of the game.
I think Washington probably came with a pretty decent game plan, and you're in your first 15 at that point. And, you know, I think that, you know, the fumble kind of threw you off schedule a little bit. That kind of threw a little.
Took a possession away.
Yeah. So now you're trying to play scramble. But I like the fact that eventually when they did get going, they settled down and they play Eagles football.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not fully buying into this team for a playoff. You know, especially with this kicker like Joe. You're built like a kicker.
Mm-hmm, I am.
You go to open trial today.
Oh, I can't. I wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, if they asked me to, I would try just for the fun of it. But I couldn't do it. No.
Are you sure?
Because
Jake Elliott can't do it. So you know, why not just have somebody else in there?
Well, you know what? Right. They do have that media competition in years past, where the beat writers have done a kicking competition. It is it's very late in the season, David, to go and bring a kicker in, but. They need him. Like, it's very hard for me to imagine them going deep in the postseason unless he's making big kicks, right? Like, they need him. They need him to make big kicks.
They do. And, I mean, he's missed so many. I mean, he's missed more this year than he did last year with the slump last year.
Kind of flying the radar, the fact that he'd been, you know, little off, too.
So that, well, a little off. Helped. I mean, he missed three on Saturday.
No, but I'm saying it kind of helped him because he's had some other kicks that he's missed early in the season that kind of, you know, with other stuff was going on.
Yeah. I mean, guys, his percentage of made field goals, and David, great phone call, has gone from 93 to 77 to 70 in the last 3 years. Jake Elliott's only making 70% of his field goals? Hugh, that's like 1960s, 1970s percentages. What are we doing here?
Yeah, he's probably, and somebody, I think I heard John Ritchie say this morning, his leg's probably a little tired.
Leg is
that's not,
tired.
I'm just going
leg?
Off. Yeah, he's a little tired.
In the last, two years.
I didn't know that was a thing.
My gosh.
Obviously it is. I didn't, because like normally, like you get probably, I mean, that's your job, right? So
yeah, he's a kicker.
No, I'm trying to
his
think.
His job is to kick.
It's just his leg.
I'm trying to think. Like, you're probably kicking probably during the course of the week, probably about, say what, 200 kicks? Something like that?
Sure, yeah.
200 kicks? Like, when you're working with, because normally when I see kickers, well, when I remember, they're kind of off on their own, doing their own thing until their period comes around, and then, but they're always constantly kicking and they're working on it. So, I don't know. And maybe, like, thinking back on it as I had the game plan, maybe it was not so much him, it's the mechanics.
Well, perhaps. I mean, they've had different – I mean, part of the excuses for Elliott this year have been the holder, right, that has changed. And the long snapper, they had that operation that was different.
Yeah.
That guy's back now, right? He came back last week, and Elliott was pretty – I mean, guys, he in the last 2 years, we are talking about a kicker that is 5 of 15 from 50-plus. 5 of 15. The NFL these days, most kickers make 50-plus yarders every week. Yeah. Again, I know it's a weird spot because he's made so many big kicks. He bounced back in the playoffs last year. It's very late in the season. But it's a concern right now. There's just no question. It's a concern. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Kyle, Joe, Hugh, and the crew. What's going on this glorious Monday?
What's going on,
Bruce,
man?
What's up?
Man, look, I'm just getting off a plane, picking up my third grandson, so you might hear a little background noise back down to the ATL this morning, man. But I was just so excited about this game for a number of reasons. I'm not ready to call them a Super Bowl team yet, but you know something that I've been screaming at y'all about this? I'm not going to get into the whole Jake Elliott thing. I hope that it's a situation that will correct itself. I was so angry about that, but I'm just going to try to stay focused on the positives. I'm going to tell you, you know, one of my biggest takeaways in this game that I think is going to help them win a championship, and you all know I've been saying this all year long, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a little bit more egregious on the offense if they do not start using Tank Bigsby more. He has proven time and time again that the Eagles have a legitimate 1-2 running back attack. Donovan has done everything that he's supposed to do. He's starting to use his legs, but I'm going to tell you, he needs to be plugged in more into the offense. They get that train rolling with everything else that Donovan has improved. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to be looking at a defense going to be able to hold times of possessions that's going to be key in the playoffs, 6, 5, 6, and 7 game drives with a 1-2 running back attack. And I think just right there alone, you know, aside from the other things that they still need to work on, because Bigsby can attack even with the offensive line being insufficient. He's got a nasty cutback and massive speed when he takes over, even better than Barkley. So that's really my take on this going forward.
Well, he's run well, Bruce. I mean, and it's not, you know, you start adding up the carries he's had this season. He's averaging 6 yards a carry this year. I mean, it's not like 10 or 12 carries. Like, it's a decent amount now. He's averaging 6 yards a pop.
Exactly. And they got to get him more integrated. Don't wait until they need to plug this guy in. So I think that the voices have been growing louder over the week. I've been saying it for 6 weeks, okay? And I'm just proud to see my things going too. So I think with that, I think the defense is, you know, the defense is going to be okay. We got a world class defense, but fine tune those things. The penalties are coming down, and I think that they really do need to play against Buffalo next week. We really need to see, now that they're beating the bad teams, they need to go in. We can't be thinking about injuries. We need to see if this offense is legit, and Buffalo's defense is not that good. They should be able to win this game. And if they win this game, then I think we're ready officially.
Well, that Bruce, here's what this weekend we'll do. And Bruce, good phone call, man. We appreciate it as always. If they go to Buffalo, they win the game. It's full on. We're going back to the Super Bowl. Like that it's the belief in the team. Because we had a caller last hour that was like, come on, guys. It was the Raiders. It was the Commanders. That wouldn't exist if they go to Buffalo and win. Buffalo is obviously a good team. They're a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very challenging place to play, especially late in the season. You know, Buffalo at home in December. I'm sure if we looked up their record since Josh Allen became their quarterback at home in December.
At home. Yeah.
I'm sure it's a pretty remarkable record. So this would be a big win if they go on Sunday and win this game.
Oh, no question about it, man. And the way that they could potentially win. You know, I know Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken, they've been struggling a little bit. They haven't been the Buffalo of late.
Not as dominant.
Because I think Josh Allen only threw for like 100 and some yards yesterday. He didn't have a great game throwing the football.
No, they ran it a lot. Yep.
But again, like I said, this is the time of year where this is what you want to do. The teams that have the success in the postseason are the ones that run the ball well. And you see now, even with Buffalo, they're getting to run the ball and then have those keys, those games where – the passing game matters more in the timing that they throw the football. If say it like that, it's more of a clutch throws
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to put the ball in harm's way type situation. So this game, I say all that to say, next week has the feel. It could potentially have the feel of a playoff game.
Yeah, and you know what it could be? It could be the first time here. If I could draw up a perfect scenario for Sunday, they go win the game. And they look good, and like the way they have the last couple weeks offensively, right? That and their defense holds Allen and the Bills to, you know, if they hold them in the low 20s and they win the game 24-23.
Nobody's tripping.
Oh, that'd be great, because it would be the first time they've won a game against a good team that's going to the playoffs. Let's think back. I mean, I don't think the Lions are going to make the playoffs. The Packers probably going to make it now, so mm-hmm. since the Packers game. You know, only one of those two teams is probably going to make the playoffs. So it's going to be the best win they've had in over a month. And if they do it with their identity, that's it. I mean, that would make me really excited on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. All right, 215-592-9494. The Eagles have won the division in back-to-back years. Is Super Bowl talk back on? It does feel like this is the most excited people have been in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know.
I'm excited.
I know Saturday
who are you
wasn't.
Trying to convince?
I am excited.
You sure?
Yeah.
Don't lie to us.
I'm excited.
I know Saturday wasn't like Jalen Hurts' best game of the year. He played well. But I do think part of the excitement is he's playing better, right? Like they won games against the Lions and Packers in November. He wasn't playing well.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't the same level of excitement for where this whole thing is going. Yesterday, they didn't beat a good team. I know that, or Saturday. But Jalen played well and the defense. Like those two things together and Saquon. That can make you excited. All right, coming up. Are you once again thinking about the repeat? We'll get to your phone calls. And we got to do a deep dive on the two-point decision. Sirianni's decision. What was he thinking? Was it about the score? Was it about a potential comeback? Was it about Jake Elliott? And Dan Quinn, all in his feelings. You're going to hear from all the characters involved in the two-point decision heard around the world late Saturday night. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Hatfield Ham brings that true holiday flavor. It's tender, juicy, and ready to steal the show as your main dish. And you know what I love about the ham? The leftovers turn it into pure holiday comfort. Holiday ham fried rice, sweet potato ham hash, even a cozy winter soup that just feels like the new season. But you know what I really like? I just like ham sandwiches, man. That's all I'm really on. Just give me a nice little ham sandwich with a nice little, some brioche, some nice little Gouda, some good Gouda, and some mayo. That's cool. That's all it makes. Make your holidays a lot easier and tastier with Hatfield. Find more holiday recipes at simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
That's an unacceptable Bob.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Nick Sirianni, I'm all about stopping team from scoring, but to go for two in that situation, that's Bush League.
Completely.
That's Bush League right there. And you, he put his players in harm's way. What if Saquon blows out his knee on that play?
I will say this. Their sideline has responded positively to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're up, they're excited, they're high-fiving, they're in it. And so maybe this is what he feels his team needs, is a little bit of, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's what. I have no idea, Fletch. I don't have a good answer for you.
That's Bush League right there.
I remember that.
Can these guys stop? Welcome back. It is the Midday Show.
That hatred run deep, bro.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio.
Some serious hatred
serious crying on that. That's the Commanders radio broadcast. All right, we'll get to all your phone calls on the game, the team winning back-to-back NFC's titles, and is a Super Bowl run back on in your eyes as the Eagles have got back on the winning streak here, two in a row, and they clinched the division. All right, but let's unpack the two-point decision heard around the world Saturday night. As I think a lot of people were like, all right, it's over now, right? Like, you probably let your guard down once the Eagles scored that final touchdown. I know I did. I mean, the game was over. Hugh, what was your first thought when you saw it? Because nothing went through my mind of running the score up. I didn't think about disrespecting the Commanders. Did I think it was a little bit unnecessary? Sure, but not in like an egregious way. I just thought, all right, I get the math on it. You know, if they're down three scores, but now you make them have to get two touchdowns and two-point conversions and a field goal. I mean, all of it's unlikely, but okay, I get the math on it. I didn't take it, though, as Nick Sirianni is disrespecting Dan Quinn and the Commanders. Where'd you come down?
I didn't think that. I just thought it was like part. I thought my first thought was, okay, maybe that's to protect the kicker.
Well, I think a lot of people thought that, too.
I think it was to protect the kicker. I know that there's a lot of bad blood between these two teams. And I get why London and those guys probably felt that way. Because I tell you, if I was on the other side of it, I probably would have too. Because we got to remember, this is the first time that we've seen each other since that NFC Championship game. And, you know, what was it? Was it that week or the week before when we played and when Louisville was jumping all over the line?
That was the game.
Yeah. So there's that. So there's a lot of bad blood. And the Commodores are not at full strength. They're not.
Well, they're on their third quarterback.
Yeah, so they probably felt a little slighted by all of that. Like, this is hatred at its finest. You know, and that's why Coach Quinn said it the way he said. I thought it was, like, my thing is this. You had an opportunity. You saw the smoke at the end of the game. And you saw Coach Sirianni. You had an opportunity.
Say something.
To say something to him then. I mean, because that's just, you know, that's – I would have said, if I felt that strong about it, I would have said something to him right after the game.
Yeah, and look, we're going to hear from Dan Quinn and Nick Sirianni here in a second. I just, like, for me, when I think of running up the score, I think leave your starters in. Throw the football late when you're up.
You're running your offense at that point.
One more point is running up the score. Like, Dan, is it less embarrassing to lose 28-18 versus 29-18? Perhaps he was annoyed because they were punting. They were kind of conceding the game early in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles were still going for two at 4 minutes to go. I don't know. I just thought it was a total overreaction by Dan Quinn. I also thought, Hugh, and you hit it, I wonder how much in the back of Sirianni's head was like, you know what? Do I want to run Elliott back out there? If he makes it, sure, there's a little bit more confidence he has heading into the week. But if he misses an extra point and he has four misses in this game, we've got a real urgent situation where I got to address the kicker situation, right? Like, maybe he just wanted to avoid going to the kicker. I mean, I think that could be part of it, too. Let's hear from Dan Quinn after the game. Boy, he was not happy with the Eagles going for two.
Hey, that's their choice, man. I want to look at the tape and see what happened before, you know, our ejections or poise or any of those things. Like, our guys are absolutely going to stick up for themselves and for their teammates. So I'll have a better sense.
Obviously, it's their choice to go for two there, right, and on. You know, it's your job to stop them. But is there an unspoken respect between coaches, teams, where, you know, in a game in that situation, you don't do that? And kind of, did you feel like it was a little bit of a sign of disrespect?
Yeah, I can only answer for my side, what I would do. But hey, man, like, that's how they want to get down. Then, like, all good. We play them again in 2 weeks.
What that mean, coach? Like, I would ask you, what that mean? I mean, that's about some of that Twitter beef. Like, oh, okay. You had an opportunity, like, right there. Like, say something. Who was the coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars who about that life?
Liam Cohen.
When he was about to put his hands on Saleh.
Which would have been a bad decision by Liam.
Well, yeah. You know,
Robert's a big dude.
But he's about that action,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, sure.
A man of action. Coach Quinn had all the chance.
Speaking of, Tyler Steen. Was
like
about
he
that
was about that smoke. Yeah,
I mean, he was about to get jumped by 11 Commanders.
I think in his mind, he knew he was going to get jumped, but somebody was about to pay.
Yeah. I think he would have fought the entire defense.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah. He would have.
Feels like the first time we've really talked about Steen, or like he's been highlighted the whole season, yes. Other than like, oh yeah, the one guy they don't have from last year's line is, you know, Steen's in there now. I thought Quinn overreacted. Again, he said what he would have done. I don't know, guys. Like, is 1 point running up the score, is that really what they were trying to do? Come on.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it was probably analytics. It was probably their offense and the way that they decided to run it. I don't think it was anything at all.
I mean, it was doing a lot. Like, there was no way Josh Johnson is putting together two drives in the last 4 minutes of the game. Like, that wasn't happening. Totally unnecessary.
There's a difference between wrong and unnecessary.
Sure.
I don't think it was wrong.
No.
It's probably unnecessary.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, that's how they took it.
Well, I know. Well,
it started a fight. They were mad about it after the game. And now, I mean, now they're thinking about it in week 18.
It almost is like one of those, I'm sorry you took offense to that. I didn't mean to be offensive. Yeah. You were offended by
it. Well, you know what? I mean, if you're petty like you and I, maybe you take him up on it.
You're going to roll the starters out there in week 18?
Throw the starters out there and say, you want it? Come get it.
Yeah, what do you think he meant by that we'll see in 2 weeks?
Like, well, I think we know what he meant.
Well, like he's going to win the game in a game the Eagles are trying to win?
Yeah, and then he's going to go for two? Like,
right, like,
what are
you
going to do?
It's like, remember the Cowboys came in here 4 years ago and Dak was putting up 50 points on a Saturday night where the Eagles rested all their starters? Like, all right, Dan, if it means a lot to you to win the game in 2 weeks, dude.
Yeah.
Cool.
God bless.
Yeah, all right, can we hear from Nick Sirianni? He was asked, and when I heard this, I think he was a little taken aback at the way they reacted. I don't think Nick meant it in that way. Here is Nick after the game.
Yeah, you know, we when we talked about it, we didn't want to go up 17, obviously, or we were up 17. To go up 18, you know, we did the math and said, hey, we wanted to be able to make sure we were up 19. We thought it was a little bit better that way, too. They could only tie you with a field goal and two touchdowns and two point conversions. So we were already up three scores. We wanted to make sure we went up that way just in case. And that was what our math told us in that particular case. And that's what we did. And we went and executed.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't think. And like I said, I watched the end of the game and I was him and Coach Quinn. They just kind of dapped and kept going. If you felt that strong about it, I'd have been like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, what was that? What was that 2-point conversion about? Because, you know, Coach Sirianni bought that life. I don't really think Coach Quinn is.
But Coach Quinn is a bigger dude, though.
Yeah, but you
don't think Dan Quinn's about that life?
I have an axe to grind with Coach. I'm going to be
Well, he has one to grind with you,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
I'll be totally honest. Because the time, I had a tremendous amount of respect for Coach. And I told him before I asked the question that I was going to ask him the question. And he said, cool. I asked him about his job security. And he got mad after the fact and went and told on me, like, oh, I can't believe you asked me that question. I'm like, dog, you knew the question was coming.
It sounds to me like a repeat of what just happened.
Yeah,
like,
that's
he's
what,
mad,
that's what I'm saying.
But after the fact, he gets mad.
Yeah, because I sat there and I asked him, I said, hey, you have a problem with me asking this question? No, not at all. So I asked the question. So then he had a problem with it. And then he went and told my boss. And I'm like, that was some real, you know, some real stuff right there. So, yeah, it makes no sense to me.
If you have a problem with it.
Yeah, he'll see me the next week. And the next week we talk, and he, he was a little pouty. He had nothing to say.
You know, as you explain the story and I watch the game Saturday, I think Dan's upset at the wrong thing. Like, he was upset at you. Maybe he should have won more games with the Falcons. Yeah, and you don't have to ask the question.
Because it was a valid question.
And maybe if his team isn't getting dragged.
Score more points?
Yeah, like, this is your fault more than anyone else, Dan. I mean, that's... Also, I just need to put this out there. It's like, if I have one wish for the new year, I'm done with coaches telling me I need to look at the tape. Dan, you're standing right
there.
Look
at the tape!
I need to see the tape to see what happened.
It's different.
Stop.
No,
the tape to see what happened in the brawl. He's right there.
Well, it's like a lot of stuff like that is bang bang.
You know what it is? It's a cop out because they don't want to answer the question.
A little bit of that.
Come on. Imagine if someone said, "I can't believe you said that 5 minutes ago," and I'm like, "Listen, I need to go back and review the tape of our show. Then I'll
gives
react."
You time. That gives you time.
Just give me an answer here. Like, what did you see?
Because you don't want to get, you know, you it might be true, and then you're like, "Oh,
this is a filibuster, Douglas." Let me go look at it. All right, 215. I know. I thought you don't like Dan Quinn. Why are you sticking up for him?
I don't, because who did that? Coach McVay did that earlier in the week, right? When Puka was out there doing his thing?
Oh, yeah, because that was about a tweet.
Gotta watch the tape!
I gotta see the tweet.
I gotta see the tweet!
Now, you know, what did I tell you, Hugh? Stop trying to see the good in people.
I'm trying to see the good in everybody, man. And I'm also trying to stop with Twitter beef.
No. How's that going?
It was okay this week.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not.
I would beg to differ on that.
I have not been beefing on Twitter.
I don't think it could have been worse since you made that declaration.
No, it's been better.
It's no.
I have not. No. I don't really say
you don't want us to
stuff.
Count how many tweets you sent out this weekend.
Well, they weren't mean and hurtful.
But they're beef.
Hold on. That's in the eye of the beholder.
Okay. Well, I just start blocking folks.
Yeah, that's actually what you should do. That's good. All right.
That's growth.
Just stop. 215-592. A lot of tough talk on Twitter, homeboy. I mean, I just pulled that one up.
Wait a minute. Why are you farming my tweets?
You said there wasn't much there. All right, Gretchen and Allentown. Hey, Gretchen.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Hugh.
Hey, hello. Gretchen.
Gretchen. I don't meet too many Gretchens.
I don't either. I like that name.
I like that name, too. I've had it for 73 years.
Hey. There you go. Well, it's served you well. Gretchen, what are you feeling this morning?
Well, I got to tell you guys, I've been a longtime Eagles fan. I grew up in the Delaware Valley. I lived in the Lehigh Valley for 30 years. And now I live in Massachusetts, surrounded by Patriots fans. Mm-hmm. So I am so thrilled that we went back-to-back in our division. So when they start bringing up their 6 Super Bowl wins, I can just about puke. But here's my question. I don't just look at a game. I watch the game. And I've noticed that when Jalen is in the shotgun formation, that the right guard stands, looks back at Jalen, then gets into his crouch, and the ball is hiked.
Mm-hmm.
If I can see that, can't other teams see that?
Are you talking about the tail with the guard and the center?
Yeah, so Gretchen.
Not the guard and the center, but the guard and the tackle.
Yeah, and Jalen. Yeah, the tap.
So the tap.
Gretchen, we've noticed
that like weeks ago.
Yeah, and it happens on the road. It's their, what I understand, it's their silent count, right? Instead of Jalen screaming it out.
Right.
So it does, as we kind of play this out and look forward to the playoffs, the more home games they get, the better off they'll be, because they don't do that at home, because obviously the crowd's going to be quiet for them at home when they have the football. It is a challenge, though, on the road. And you're right, because the defense sees the same thing you do.
Exactly. Well, I was curious yesterday. I kept thinking, if I can see this, certainly the opposing team can see this. But I just had a question about it. My other comment, and just real quickly, who is the guy behind the voice of your promos? Because he deserves a shout out. He is awesome.
That would be Battle, wouldn't
Battle. He's
That's
great. Yeah,
cat.
He does a lot of good ones. He, especially the ones leading into games when he's talking about the opposing city or fans.
Yeah.
They always make me laugh. They're great.
He is fabulous, and I really enjoy listening to him. I tune into WIP every morning. That's my taste of Philadelphia, living here near Boston. So I get my taste of Philadelphia. So Merry Christmas to both of you. Go Birds!
Go Birds, Gretchen, and Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for calling. You've been on that for weeks. The silent count, the tap with Steen onto Juergens, and then the snap. I guess they think it's their... they're obviously doing it because they think it's their best way
effective.
To...
It's effective. It's been effective, but it's a tail. Because if you now... So I don't know if the defensive lineman, why you wouldn't see that and know that, okay, after he does that snap, there's a couple seconds left. The ball's being hiked.
Now, I don't know the answer to this. Is there a way, you think, to alter the timing? Let's say they keep doing it, but, like, could he tap him and then it's, like, two taps? Or he taps him and it's an extra full second after?
It could be something like that to mix it up. But to her point, nobody's really taking advantage of that just yet.
I guess yes and no, right? Like they haven't been great on the road.
Yeah, but it hasn't been something that cost them. I guess that's my thing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about their road games and how they scored 29 on Saturday. That was good. Before that, they didn't do well in Los Angeles. They didn't do particularly well in Dallas the last three quarters.
I just think that's going to be a part of it. Like, I know what you're saying, Joe, as far as like getting off and scoring more points. The ceiling for me in this team is still 21 points.
You gotta raise that ceiling.
No, nah, it's still about the same.
Wait, we just come up 31 and 29.
I mean, okay.
That's an average of 30.
Respectfully. Yeah. Respectfully, but in the playoffs, it's probably going to be closer to the 21. I give you 27 in this situation.
Well, I think the difference between 21 and 26 or 27 is a Super Bowl. Like if you tell me,
I'll give you 26. I'll give you 26.
Well, that, I think they can win the Super Bowl.
Okay, because I don't feel like
appreciate that.
I don't feel like this is the year where going into the playoffs and even in the Super Bowl for that matter. I don't feel like it's going to be high scoring.
So I don't either. But eventually, you're going to see a big time offense, right? Like you're going to see a team that can get to 24 against you, so that you got to get to 26 to win the game.
I feel like if the only team that I think would probably be comfortable throwing the ball at that volume would probably be the Rams.
Sure.
Like, just out the gate, just thinking off the top of my head and the teams that we'll potentially see, Chicago's going to be more like us.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say Seattle would probably skew more, a little bit more like us. That, like, they'll probably take some chances, but at the end of the day, they're not going to want Sam Darnold in the playoffs throwing the ball that much.
I guess if you tell me right now, like, this, it's over, the playoffs ended, and you say, Joe, the Eagles averaged 21 points a game for their whole postseason run. Did they win the Super Bowl? I would say no. If you tell me they averaged 26, I'd say maybe they did.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But, again, when you look at the potential matchups, the only team that you look at and say, that might be what I need, is to me right now is the Rams. Like, right off the top of my head is the Rams. Is the team that you're going to look at and say you're probably going to need 26 points to beat them. And the reason why I say that is I think the defense is going to hold serve. I think they're going to hold serve, but you're probably going to need 26 or 27 because it'll probably be like 24,
yep.
26 or something like that. So, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I'm not saying they can't win playoff games at 21. I mean, they certainly can. But if they're at 21, the game's probably going to be 21-19, and we're all biting our nails with 2 minutes to go. Right? That feels like where we're headed. Dan in North Carolina is up. Hey, Dan. Dan, going once, twice. We'll put Dan back on hold. Actually, can we hear from some of the players after the little melee coming up on Saturday where the Commanders got all in their feelings, led by Dan Quinn, who's crying after the game. Who want to hear from Josh Johnson first, the third-string quarterback of the Commanders who played the final couple quarters here. Let's hear what he had to say.
Like, it just goes back to what DQ wants here. He wants, like, we all want. Like, everybody believes in one another. Everybody fights for one another. And we ain't going to get pushed around by nobody. And, I mean, unfortunately, you know, if that happened that way, you don't want to see it happen that way. But at the same time, you got to let some people know sometimes. You know, that's what our guys did today. So they let them know. And then, you know, we'll see him in 2 weeks.
He said, you'll see him in 2 weeks. You heard him.
Is that the third-string quarterback saying we'll see him in 2 weeks?
We'll see him in 2 weeks because he'll probably be playing.
Yeah.
Because what is it, Marcus Merrill, the finger or something?
Yeah, it seemed like he had a lot of ailments. He was checked for a concussion. They mentioned his ribs on the broadcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And then he got stepped on. Tough day for Marcus. Boy, I'll tell you though, the difference between second and third string quarterbacks in the NFL is vast. Like, Mariota's not that good, obviously, but.
No, but he's better than the cat they rolled out.
Sure. I just can't believe Josh Johnson was talking after the game. Josh Johnson.
That was the same as when when Miller got knocked out, Buddy was talking trash. At the end of the, I forgot to do the backup quarterback.
Oh, Jim Miller's backup.
Yeah, Shane Matthews?
He was talking trash to you?
Yeah, he's like, that's a dirty play. I'm like, man.
Was it Shane Matthews?
That's who it was, yes.
I think it was. That's the name in my head.
Yeah, I told him you're number one.
Yeah. Okay, can we also hear from Saquon Barkley asked after the game about the Commanders?
We got to be better. Obviously, we got to take care of each other. It's a brotherhood on their side and our side. We got to be better. We got to be smart. I got to be smart. I shouldn't put myself in that situation. It's really not worth it. Bobby Wagner did a really good job of, you know, making it make sense to me in that moment, too. You get to throw two or three punches at a helmet. Hopefully you don't break a hand just to say you're a tough guy. Like, it's not really worth it. Like, and you lose a lot of money, too. So we got to be better there. But, you know, I guess it was a theme. We look back at one point, the fans was fighting in the thing, and I guess it kind of carried over to the game. But it's chippy out there, and we have a lot of history with this team, especially since I've been here, and didn't have it in the past. But this team don't like us. It's just the truth. And we don't like them either. But we got to keep it football. And
how did that 48-yard run?
I do like that at the end. They don't like us. We don't like them either.
Look, I mean, that's a truism.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking about two teams that they've been fighting for a while. I mean, it's always like that in the division, but for whatever reason, especially because of last year, I would assume these two teams have a lot of bad blood.
Yeah, I just think the Commanders overreacted. I mean, guys, it's 1 point. If Jalen's out there bombing the ball 50 yards down the field with a minute to go, then all right, then you could feel a certain way. I mean, that's ridiculous. But it's really one point. I mean, they got bigger issues they need to worry about. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Jujo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Guys, we beat Buffalo this upcoming week. Then we're definitely going to be back.
There we go. Now we're talking, Terrence.
But right now, guys, we have a Missy Elliott problem. This dude is kicking like he's shot at the worst time. And I hope it don't come down to this dude's leg in the playoffs. But let's leave that alone. But right now, we're back-to-back division champs, man. And I hope the league ain't let the Eagles click and vibe on offense at the right time. And that's what it looks like. I saw Jalen on the sideline in an intense talk, galvanizing his offensive line. And that made me feel good, because you never usually see Jalen on the sideline getting the troops rallied up. But he looked like he was in an intense talk with his O-line. And I saw Sirianni walk by, and he just gave him a look like, that's what you want to see out your quarterback. I'm seeing these last couple of weeks, he's using AJ, using Schmitty more, and he's more precise. I heard Hugh say this earlier. He's more precise with his passing. He's hitting these guys early in the route, and he's not holding the ball. And that was my knock on him. I went to the game, even when the game against the Raiders, when I went to that game, he was holding the ball. And these last couple of weeks, I'm seeing he's seeing the field better. Whenever Nick took over, they say Nick took over and got his hands involved in the offense. It looks better. We cannot say it don't look better, because it does. And it's opening things up. By Jalen Hurts throwing the way he's throwing, it's opening things up for Goddard. It's opening things up for Saquon. And we said that earlier in the season, that Jalen might have to throw better to open up the run. And we're seeing that with the RPOs, with Hurts and Saquon. Like I said before, guys, these other teams are new to this. And like them T-shirts said, the division titles, we've been there, we've done this. And right now, guys, I think the league might have let the Eagles, you know what I mean, figure it out at the right time, guys, because the Eagles have the flying under the radar all year, behind Seattle, behind the Rams. And the only thing I wish is that in the preseason, these guys get together and get better reps in, because we do every year. We see these guys start to get a better repertoire come down the season with these guys throwing the ball to AJ and Smitty. But one thing I got to say, guys, I heard fans and some people clamoring for McKee, guys. And we got to look at Jalen Hurts' resume, guys. The last, he's been in the playoffs every year. He's won back-to-back division titles, 2 Super Bowls, 1-1. And, guys, we're talking about a team that's tested, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, they are, Terrence, man. Good phone call. And look, Jalen's the start of his career is a good one. And he played well on Saturday. They won the game, and they're back in the postseason. All right, coming up, we're gonna address the Jake Elliott situation in more detail after the break here. What is going on with Jake Elliott? What should the Eagles do about it? What he said, what Nick Sirianni said, that's all coming up. Your phone call as well, 215-592-9494. is the Super Bowl run back on? Your reaction to the Eagles winning back-to-back NFCs. We also will get to what to do in Buffalo on Sunday with the guys coming back from injury, how hard the Eagles go for the two seed, all coming up in the next hour. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tis the season to be boosted on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, because this year you're getting 7 straight days of holiday rewards, each one waiting in the app for you to unwrap. Every day brings a new way to play, so keep checking to see what drops next. It all leads to the Christmas Day special, where you can get something extra special. 7 days of gifts, one big finale. Your holiday football just got a whole lot brighter. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get in the holiday spirit. FanDuel, play your game. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.